You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
From the director who brought you Smokey and the Bandit, Hooper, Cannonball Run, comes the ultimate spectacle. Megaforce, an elite compact fighting unit armed with the most sophisticated weapons ever seen on a movie screen. The mission, to preserve freedom and justice and battle the forces of evil.
The good guys always win, even in the 80s.
Megaforce.
Hello and welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome. I know that that trailer was very short because that's all you need to know. It's mega and it is a force. And tonight in our cult cinema show for this evening, we're going to do Mega Force. Finally, after 11 years of wanting to do this one, I have finally made everyone suffer.
Yeah, I was going to say there was no convincing.
There's no convincing.
You manhandled us into watching.
Yeah, I did. I dictated it. That's what I did.
You just did the women, whole thing. Shut up. Watch the movie.
Oh, God, we'll get through that. Hello, my name's Dion. I've got Quinny here, and there's Jill there, and Peter there. And we're all here tonight. And we're going to talk about the 1982 cinematic movie, Mega Force, starring Barry Bostwick, which is amazing. And hello to everyone in the chat who's joining us along there. That's lovely. What year is this film, Tari? I can easily say to you, this is 1982. Yes, 2 years before the wonderful films that came out in 1984. This one was 1982.
Though, I did look at what else came out in 1982. Oh, and did there's you? There's a reason that this... So, okay, do we want to say it right now?
What?
The film tanked.
Really? I could not understand why. How is this possible?
I know, right? It seems like a crazy thing for me to tell you, but yeah.
I don't understand. Why? What was it up against?
Well, I don't know, just little things like E.T., The Dark Crystal, Tron,
useless.
Annie. The Thing, Star Trek II, Wrath of Khan, Conan the Barbarian.
Damn.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Addie 2 had some bangers.
Yeah. Like First Blood, so the first Rambo, 48 Hours, Blade Runner.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean,
1982 had some pretty fucking stiff competition.
Well, Megaforce has the most advanced weapons ever seen on the screen.
Thank you, Peter.
Definitely.
I love that Peter is getting into the vibe
more advanced
now.
Than
more advanced than anything else. It's
than Blade Runner.
It's got that fantastical advanced aircraft, the C-130 Hercules.
those advanced cars, motorbikes.
Flying bikes, all sorts of bikes. I can't go through that. Anyway, can I just say, I'm the one who did this. This is me. I put everyone else under suffrage. Quinny made us watch Red Sonja this month, so this is my treat for everyone else to just say, we finally have some cinematic art to look at for this. And, I remember when I first got this, I first found this film, it was sitting there on the VHS box at Rainbow Video. Yes, I know, right? In the weekly section, because, that I was able to get a weekly movie. What was it? Two overnights and two weeklies for, must have been like $8 back then. Fucking hell, I don't know. And I got this one. I was like, this looks fun. I'm going to watch this. And went, holy shit, this is amazing.
And this is exactly what those like weekly movies were about.
Sure.
You know,
the two movies you definitely wanted to see and the other two movies that needed to fill the gap that you hadn't already seen.
But also something that you would walk down the aisles and look at the cover and go, that looks dumb.
Yeah. But not even that looks dumb. Just like, that's fun. It's only a weekly. Sweet. Yeah.
I just realized. You're both down with the VHS period of time, right?
Yeah.
Peter Jill. Yeah.
Yes.
Just checking.
Oh. I just realized.
You forget how old we actually are?
Yes, because
when did you think VHS has stopped being a thing?
I just realized that Pete's been slightly off screen since the start. That's all right. We're fixing that. It's okay now. It's all right. She's back.
Well done.
Back now. It's back. It's fine. Carry on.
No, I just, because you're both young and gorgeous, and I'm used to talking to people and going and talking about this, you know, nostalgic shit that we talk about, and then looking at me going, "You're old, dude." So
Be kind, rewind.
Look, I mean, you can't say anything bad about this film. It's 44 years ago that this film came out. So you've got to be able to take it with a grain of salt. Like, I'm not even sure some of us were born when that film came out. Come on, what are you talking about?
1982.
It's like when you say you can't say anything bad about this film, you have a challenge.
I mean, the two greatest cinematic releases that came out of 1984 are in this chat right now. So, no, we were not born when
exactly.
this movie came out.
Yeah. But I like to think that maybe this movie was part of the cause for the birth of you two wonderful people. Because, you know, it released in 1982, maybe made its way to Australia by 1983, 84-ish.
I really hope I was not conceived to this.
Perhaps, perhaps the flesh tone jumpsuit that all the men wear was setting a mood for this. Anyway, okay, I know. I can see the look on your face. Okay. You're like, please no, please God no.
Why is it shiny? Sorry, I'll save it.
Because it's made out of spandex, Peter.
It's not even made. It's made out of petrochemicals. The precise reason why this international fighting force is going to these countries.
Yeah.
Anyway,
hey, Namibia is really a country. So is Sudan.
Yes, Sudan and Namibia.
Totally real places.
I love this. I love it. Okay.
I just want to say how I was introduced to this, because I, like you, Jill and Peter, was deeply fucking reticent. But I went to Dion's place on a Saturday and we were just sitting around, and he'd been saying to me for quite some time, "Dude, you've got to watch fucking Megaforce." And I was like, I looked at the cover and I thought, that looks dumb as shit. And then we were sitting there building Lego on his couch and he put it on and I was like, oh man, this is terrible. This is fucking shit. This is worse than my current mustache. Like, this is fucking awful. And then slowly I realized what I was experiencing. And I don't know, did you slip me a gummy or something like that while we were doing it?
Yeah. Like, no, it's, I don't know what happened. Like, but you finally came around. And by the end, you were cheering and we were giving each other the thumbs up. Oh, wait, you got to kiss the thumb.
We may have had a high five. I'm not.
You've got to kiss the thumb. So normal and cool and very hetero. That's all I'm saying for this film. I do it often to my male friends. Or enemies, because it's a useful gesture to both your friends and enemies.
Anyway. Dost thou butt thou thumb at me?
It does. Shakespearean. Sir. Exactly. Thank you, Peter. Yeah. This Shakespearean work. Importantly, though, do we have a synopsis?
We do. I mean, technically, there is a really shit synopsis on the internet.
All right.
But, yeah.
Yeah, I can't. Look, all I'm going to say is, Quinny, do you have some sort of... pick one of the countries in the multinational force and do it in that accent.
I would try my Namibian accent, which I
yes, Namibian.
What they said.
Please do this one in Namibian for me, please.
Have I got music? Is it happening?
Synth music. Yep, there it is in the back. The theme.
So good. The Megaforce leader. I've got no fucking idea what. I'm just trying to remember the guy at the start who's reading it out, and he's like just vaguely Mexican. I don't know.
Maybe go for the vaguely southern guy.
Okay, right. The Megaforce leader, Commander Ace Hunter, will lead a mission to destroy the Namibian forces, which are led by his rival and former military academy friend, Duke Guerrera.
Yeah.
While Hunter composes an elaborate battle plan to destroy Guerrera's forces, Zara tries out to become a member of Megaforce.
Sorry about that. The music stopped halfway through because it's only like 35 seconds.
Oh, God.
The theme is like 35 seconds. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Jill, are you okay?
No. No.
She's not.
Unfortunately, like, even hearing that synopsis, I kind of tuned out. Just like I did while watching this movie.
I have no idea what happened in this film, guys.
No, neither do I. I've seen it like twice.
Zara tried out for the Megaforce. I think she like begged to be in it and they still told her to go fuck herself.
She begged to be in it, passed all of the conceivable tests.
She literally jumped out of a fucking plane and they still said no.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. But, and for
and,
what
and
reason?
Also said, I had no intention of ever letting you in anyway.
But what was the reason? Do you remember the reason that they gave the person
because
who jumped through all the
she's a childbearing woman, so how dare she go?
No, no, that wasn't the reason they gave for her.
It's because the 60 men are one man, Jill.
Yeah. She wouldn't mesh with the unit. And it was like, I'm worried about the other dudes. I'm worried about introducing a woman into this mix. I'm sorry, yeah. Scarlett. I mean, you have to go away. Yeah, I know. It's the worst reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And make no mistake about it, we 100% know that this is terrible. Like, this is the worst sexism, the most ridiculous misogyny, the most completely fucking, like, ludicrous lack of respect given to incredibly competent, like, infinitely more competent female characters.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then she accepts the excuse and then goes into simpering mode.
Yeah.
Yep.
She's amazing. Just like, oh, okay, well, I guess I can't win that argument. I'll turn around and just fawn over you instead.
You're an amazing man and an even better leader. Like, he literally just made you jump out of a plane for no reason. For no reason. He's just kind of like, I just wanted to see if you could, but I was never going to let you in. Yeah. Lol.
Lols. So, firstly...
And mansplained the jumping out of the plane first.
Oh, yeah.
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 I mean...
Just in case you weren't sure.
I'm not defending this at all. Like, every single criticism that anyone ever has by watching this film is 100% valid and absolutely true. I accept. I also go, yeah, but a 5-year-old boy wrote this and he doesn't like stinky girls. And what it does have is lots of fucking cool machines that drive around and shoot lasers. And, like, it is literally talking to a 5-year-old and you're transcribing the plot as the 5-year-old is talking. And then you're like, and yeah, and okay, okay, so that's the plot that we're doing. Okay, roll picture, let's go.
That is actually a really good description of the film.
Exactly.
Like, I tell stories to my 4-year-old, 5-year-old nephew, like, all the time, and now he gets very involved in the storytelling and keeps stopping me to say, no, 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 now this should happen. And this is basically what would happen. Yep. If I let it go for 90 minutes, this is what would happen.
Exactly. and as, like, being one of those 5-year-old boys, this is what connected to me to it going, oh, my God, that's so wonderful. It's terrible film. Like, oh, this is all awful. But this is literally the 5-year-old me going, you're getting everything you want in a film. Like, you're getting
motorcycle flies.
Yeah,
and then he does flips.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. It does like a spinny flip on the way in.
Yeah, yeah. On the way in, does the flip.
So, Dion, did you see this when you were 5?
No, I didn't see it when I was 5. I was definitely.
Did you actually see this when
it's just still connected to his?
When this is much later.
Yeah, yeah. No, I saw it when I was like 10 or 11. Firstly, and then I was like, oh yeah, I've seen that film, and then I went back to it, and I was like, oh my God, it's so terrible. But so wonderful, because as you grow up, you realize certain things. And that's what I'm here to explain as my thing tonight, is to try to encourage people to watch it and with some little more understanding that I gained later. So yes, I'm really up for valid criticism, but I have some interesting facts around the production of the film and how it's made and the sorts of things and what it influenced, which is why I think it's a really interesting film and worthy of cult cinema. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will give it this. They obviously spent money.
$50 million.
They did stunts.
A lot.
They clearly did stunts and set off a lot of explosives.
Yes. And had the National Guard involved.
my word.
In the production. Sorry, not $15 million. That's a too much money. It was $20 million budget, but it was part of $50 million, part of it, of a $50 million grant by the attempt for the Hong Kong Cinema Board to get into American cinema. So that may explain some things too. Like,
This was Golden Harvest.
Yep.
Who, if you've ever seen a kung fu movie, you've seen a, probably seen a Golden Harvest movie. Their attempt to break into that Western market, which also, interestingly enough, they did this, but they also co-funded Blade Runner. So,
yeah. So I know what they got a better return on the investment for. Yeah. I get this sort of like, I mean, how do I explain the situation of what's going on with Megaforce? So it's Hal Needham, who did Smoking the Bandit and what else did
Cannonball
he
Run.
Cannonball Run, sorry. Yeah, Smoking the Bandit, Cannonball Run. Like, that was his hit. He's like car dude, okay? So he's like, do you want car thing? Go fast, Pontiac. Like, yeah, he was the Michael Bay of that time. Like, he's not here for the plot. He's here to do set pieces, and then we'll put whatever, we'll push whatever we need to go through as well. So you've got that guy that's sitting on one side, and then you've got all the other producers that are in, and they've decided to run with, you know, if you're going to have a really tough, cool character actor to play your lead in this, let's go with that guy from Rocky Horror Picture Show. Let's go to a musical of Pirates of Penzance, which is what Barry Boswick was doing at the time, and go, you know what? That Pirate King should be in our action movie.
And it's such a camp role.
Exactly. This is what we're talking about. You're watching this going, who is in charge? Who is making these decisions here? Because you've got things like Blade Runner, or like you're talking Rambo, you're talking all of these kind of action things, and they've just walked in and gone, Pirates of the Penzance, that guy, immediately. You're the one in charge of this, and you've got a whole team of men, and you're going to be really awful to the women that turn up. Or woman, one woman.
One woman.
One woman that turns up.
And I don't remember seeing any other women.
And you're going to have a love-hate relationship with the evil guy who's just like, is he evil or is he went to the same military college as you did, and now you're fighting on different sides and you're good and he's bad? But you're still going to be friends at the end?
Yeah, I didn't quite get that.
No one got it.
I agree. I had considerable
difficulty. Yeah, I was like, hang on, wasn't this the group that they're supposed to be fighting, and then they're all like best mates? And it's like, oh, guess I'll see you out there.
Yeah.
It's because when I'm killing you?
It's this strange, absolutely ridiculous idea that it's just a game. Like, it's warfare, you know, you're blowing each other up, but it's just a game. And totally, you know, off this other thing, it's kind of like, what if, you know, the UN had a special forces unit that was very camp? You know, it's so bonkers, and I love it.
Okay.
I'll tell you here are two influences that I believe came out of this movie, because it was two things that I felt very strongly like, oh, this feels like that. And both of those things came out after this film did.
Mm-hmm.
The first one being the A-Team.
Yes, true.
And another one being Mask.
Yes, true.
Yes.
I was like, this is like a mashup of Mask and the A-Team.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, wait, they came out after this.
Exactly.
Movie.
And what's the other one? Go on, Dion. Do you want to say it?
Look, it's...
Hey, anyone else?
Does anyone know? No, okay. G.I. Joe came out.
Okay.
Yeah, and we're talking the G.I. Joe reboot of the... Not the original 60s Barbie counter. We're talking the 80s kind of camp. You know, you've got all these vehicles. You've got all of these different people from around the world who are all joining this G.I. Joe force. And it's very hard to sort of not go, hang on, they did this movie, and then like a year later, the cartoon comes rolling out very, very similar to the ideas that are presented in Megaforce.
Mm-hmm.
So interestingly enough, director Hal Needham actually went for the rights for G.I. Joe before he made this film.
Oh.
Yeah.
And basically, like, so much that this 82. So everybody was aware of the extraordinary value of toys and marketing. So the movie was made very, very much with the intent of it being a vehicle for selling toys. And so before the, I think before that even shot, like they had deals with Mattel for like releasing lines of toys. They had Hot Wheels of all of the things. And originally they were intending it to be a TV series. And then veered off and went, no, it needs to be a movie.
And look, I mean, this is all really interesting, but you've got to understand part of the scuttlebutt rumor mill around it too is that the CIA tried to stop them doing this movie. Because, so the CIA tried to stop them doing the movie because some of the equipment that they were using was too similar to the stuff that the CIA had, like basically Black Ops stuff. Yeah, now you look at it, you go, oh, that's ridiculous. And then you go, oh, hang on, it just looks like stuff. Remember, it doesn't function at all. Like the stuff.
Are we talking about the lasers?
No. Well, they were worried because it looked too similar to some, like the dune buggy stuff that they'd reclad, and you know, like there's some all the thing about this film. Like, as you're not even worried about the characters. The characters don't matter. It's just about the fucking cool vehicles, and it is just a bunch of reskinned kind of things like dune buggies and motorcycles and a tank or a truck. Like, but it's a Hot Wheels. It's just a toy. They knew what they were doing, but the CIA was a little bit like, yeah, that looks a little bit too similar to the ones that we have. So we don't want you to be doing this because they were worried about, you know, people mistaking them and going, oh, and now they've learned, like the CIA have learned from all of this in the 80s, right? Now when a movie comes out with some high-tech future stuff, they're like, yeah, we have that. It's totally, it's totally true. Yeah, America has that. We'll use it on you if you don't shut up.
I gotta say, there are a couple of scenes like quite early on where they're in the bunker thing, you know, the multi-level.
Some beautiful map painting.
Sure, aren't they? Aren't they gorgeous? Yeah. There's some really good map painting work in this.
Yeah,
some like terrible models though.
There's some beautiful artistry. Yeah, terrible models. Wonderful designs for the time, because this is also around the time of Mad Max 2.
Came out this year too.
That came out as well. But they were kind of overdone because one was post-apocalyptic and one was, you know, this kind of stuff. So
this was set in the far-flung future of 1990.
Yes. Amazing. And I remember the decade, that whole decade where I had to wear those jumpsuits and bandanas and have a rebreather on my motorcycle mask for no reason. And just like slap a couple of grenades to the outside of my thing. Like, I mean, I feel like this film influenced a lot of people in ways that they didn't understand. Like there was creatives out there who were basing stuff off what they saw in Megaforce to make other IP, and it influenced stuff as it all kind of came through. It all pushed together. You know, is it good? No.
I found it influential. You say that this has probably been influential to a lot of people. I'm pretty sure it caused some awakenings in some people.
Sure. That they didn't really understand. And then a couple of years later, Top Gun came out. Again, very confusing. And then they joined the military and everything seemed to fall into place.
So we're having a lot of fun talking about how stupid the movie is, but I'd like to hear more from Jill and Pete.
Yeah, sorry, I've banged on enough.
Yeah, I'm just aware that it's two guys talking about a movie from 1982.
Well, to be fair, I didn't really watch it. I was really not in the mood for it when I got to a Monday night. I had had a very big weekend at a convention. I was extremely tired and I had to go to work. And I'm like, I'm never going to find time to watch this movie if I don't do it tonight. So Monday night, I put it on and I was in such a bad mood.
Sure.
I'm watching this movie and I'm watching this girl get completely like dismissed, and I'm like, fuck this movie. And I just let it play while I was on my phone, and I'm like, oh fuck it, I want to go to bed. And I went to turn it off. I'm like, oh, there's only 10 minutes left. I'm like, shit, I may as well finish it.
It's only...
I'm glad you got the last 10 minutes because they are the bit that has the most spectacular special effects.
I don't even remember what happened. Look, I did see the terrible skydiving sequence.
It's so bad.
Ridiculous. I looked up again and saw the beautiful matte painting in the underground lab. I looked up again and I saw very beautiful color grading in a scene in the desert with like oranges and blues, and I thought that was stunning. And when I looked up again, I saw this amazing sequence of motorbikes with colored smoke in an aerial shot. It was absolutely gorgeous. Bye-bye. So like when I did look up, I saw some very lovely cinematography, but I just did not understand what was happening and nothing was going into my brain.
Sure. Yeah. And like, I love that too. And I love that when Peter watched it too, it was just a bunch of butt wise. Just butt.
I actually gave it more attention than Jill did. because initially I had a deadline, a midnight submission deadline, and I was trying to just like, I'll just have to put it on the side and watch it as much as I can. But because the plot is nonsensical, I couldn't do it like that because I had to really give it my focus to pick up any hint of plot that I could manage. So I watched it in pieces, and I almost didn't watch the last 20 minutes because it was today and I was working and I was like, I've watched enough. I can talk about this. But I'm glad I did watch the last 20 minutes because then I wouldn't have seen that incredible blue screen flying motorcycle sequence.
Barry Boswick having the time of his life just going, I can't believe I was in Rocky Horror Picture Show and Pirates of the Penzance, and now I'm doing
motorbike.
This.
Oh, you've got to remember a flying motorbike.
I do remember the flying motorbike.
Eat your heart out.
Because from like front on, I'm like, where are the wings? That was so thin. I'm
thin.
How's this holding anything up?
Yeah. Let's not show any aeronautical engineers that scene.
This wide on each side of the bike and about 5 mil thin.
But you can still do a barrel roll or a flip or whatever.
Disappeared on the green screen. Like they went see-through.
Interesting. Yeah. Not a green screen.
Well, I don't give a fuck what color the screen is.
No. It is like
rear projection.
Yeah, it's a kind of rear projection. It's the only way that they could do that shot.
Well, lights were blowing out the fucking wings because you couldn't see them.
No. You're correct. But it was one of the only things I found interesting about the production. Was that they were using a very specific piece of technology that was, meant that there was actually live footage on the screen behind him so that that bit when he comes flying in and then lands and jumps off his bike is not green screened at all. And I was like, how the fuck did they do that?
And where is
that? Not rear projection?
It's not quite rear projection. It's more like what they did for Superman, where they have the highly reflective backgrounds and stuff. I don't know. Yeah.
And where do they use that technology now? Driving around, cars driving around, like, sitting in a studio and doing that sort of like, it's like, it was like the volume of 1982.
It very much was.
Come on, it was high technology to put on a screen and do that proof of stuff, and so dumb.
20 million had to go somewhere.
That's the thing. It's incredible because usually, I love watching these kind of cult movies where you can see it's just kind of like a ragtag bunch of filmmakers with a dream, who have kind of like pulled this terrible thing together, but with no money, and it's terrible, but you can kind of see the filmmaking dream in it. And I could see the money in this because I'm like, yep, that is a helicopter shot of skydivers. That's, that's money on screen. And then it would like cut into the like green screen or whatever it was, like close up of the actors. I was like, oh my God, that's terrible.
Yeah, it's
so bad. It's so bad.
I mean,
I have questions about this high tech band of
the Megaforce. You just call them Megaforce. Yep. It's okay.
Band of ragtag young men. I mean, aside from a couple of lasers and one where something inexplicably made some people disappear, just seemed like a lot of guns and explosions, which I believe is technology that existed in warfare in the 80s.
Yeah. But the lasers.
Rockets, very small rockets. But the fired lasers. From motorbikes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very accurate rockets that they do when they pop a wheelie and then just launch off a.
Yeah.
Yeah, just some sort of. Very accurate, like all of that kind of stuff. This is the point.
I mean, there was like, it was alluded to some kind of like super cool, like camouflage function that we never saw in action. You know, in the kind of like M sequence in the bunker where it's kind of like, oh, I've got all of this amazing technology, but you're never going to see it in the film.
No.
No,
because all you're going to see in the film is cars jumping and things and shooting and an explosion and a laser.
Baby.
And a few lasers.
And a barrel full of petrol being set on fire by someone with a remote trigger. Like,
I didn't understand any of the reason for any of the missions, frankly.
There is no reason.
The missions are just to be cool.
Yeah.
But I particularly didn't understand the spandex suits. Like, if it was like a space thing, I'd be kind of like, okay, well, that makes sense. It's like, you know, some special... space.
You know what it was? It was the costume team not having a big enough budget to do actual fittings with fabric. So they're like, we're going to make one size of like 50 of the same spandex suit and it will just fit everybody in the cast.
At least they didn't have to share the suit.
All of the money went to skydiving.
Yeah.
At least they didn't have to share the suit. I mean, and as I said earlier, if there is a film screaming out for a dance belt, it's this film.
Yeah. Look, they couldn't even afford to put the British guy in matching khakis. His top and his pants weren't the same colour.
It's so...
Oh, yes.
I will say that he sounded a lot like Michael Caine, which when I wasn't looking at the screen did occasionally trick me into thinking I might be watching something good.
Hey, I will not hear a bad word about Edward Mulhare. So Edward Mulhare starred in The Ghost and Mrs. Muir, but then a couple of years, after this... He then went on to star in Knight Rider.
Yes, which was the same era.
Was he a boffin in Knight Rider or something?
No, no, he was the person who gave him the missions. Yes. Off you go, Michael. Okay. Blah, 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 Michael. Oh.
Yes, yeah. Another car thing. Yeah.
British man who is a lord of some shit.
Yeah. Remember, like, this is also the same era. It's Knight Rider. It's Blue Thunder. It's a whole bunch of this kind of action. Like, if you have the technology and you have the device, then the device is the character. This is what Megaforce is. Megaforce is more than Barry Boswick. Megaforce is the Force, all right? Is the G.I. Joe, is the thing that's going on. The rest of it is just boring.
But why, Dion?
There's no why.
I'm sorry,
Because Gamidia...
Even like the but why at the end of like the big, well, we can't let you back into the country. And then when they like come back into the country, he's like, oh, wonderful, they're back. I'm like, wait, wasn't this a problem for you? Like...
Well, I'll read it. Like, let me read a quote from Hal Needham about the film. He says, it's like no other movie ever made before. True. And the machines we built are extraordinary. Accurate. There's one other thing. Although there's a lot of action, you don't see anyone get killed. I think people are beginning to get sick of that kind of thing. What we've tried to do here is make an entertaining film with some believable heroes that public can cheer for. Isn't that nice?
That's wholesome.
But why was there colourful smoke?
Because
it was a pretty aerial.
It was Pride Month. And they were just getting ahead of it. They were just way, way ahead. And this is what I loved about it. I was watching it going, like, when you go back and you look at it now, you're like, fabulous. I want to see that. The gays are taking over. I'm here for
also,
it.
I love how childlike that concept is, because at the time in 1982, like, these are just people going, yeah, rainbow colors. That's cool.
Yeah.
You know? They're not, I don't think, I mean, there is so obviously a massive undercurrent of queer baiting throughout.
That's what the clip is, Quinny.
Yeah, yes, I know.
I wasn't quite sure if it was supposed to be a comedy or if it was supposed to be, like, it's in that, like, weird 80s place where it's kind of like everybody's playing it so camp, but I actually don't understand if it's just kind of like the 80s or... if we're being funny.
Yeah.
I was hoping you guys could shed some light.
No, absolutely not. I mean, watching it as a small child, I was like, yeah, this is awesome. They've got cool guns and things and they're going to do that. And now as I'm older, I'm like, oh, my God.
Like, we were great mates, but then he stole my lighter and now we're mortal enemies.
The thing is, it's kind of seminal, so what is it even parodying?
It's that's the problem with it.
Yeah.
It's before all of the other stuff that came from it.
Yeah. Exactly.
So is this actually the original serious thing? But it's clearly not. Like, because clearly, like, you don't hire Barry Bostwick from the Pirates of Penzance and go, we want him to be an action hero. He is playing it campy and stupid and, you know, like, really ridiculous. So I think maybe he knows what's going on.
Yeah.
And maybe one or two of the other cast are like, oh, no, I know what kind of film I'm in.
Yeah.
I mean, but I'm not sure whether director knew.
No.
I don't know. We had stuff like Mad Max beforehand, although America didn't really have Mad Max.
Well, no, they got it in
the second film.
Yeah, they got Mad Max 2 at the same time. So you can sort of understand how this was overshadowed and this kind of went in a strange direction. But I mean,
there was, I guess, in terms of the driving around in the fucking desert, there was a bit of the Mad Max to it.
You also got to remember that this is the time of America after they are struggling, like, as a place, they're struggling with identity and understanding because they've just come out of Vietnam, they had their asses kicked, you know, they weren't feeling really great about themselves. So, you know, they need a bit of American exceptionalism with this cool, you know, it was the middle of the Cold War. They had to be good. They had someone that they were fighting against. So to me, that's interesting.
Yeah. And I mean, with that framing, you can kind of see the idea of, oh, we've just essentially lost a war.
Yeah.
And as a country, we are trying to re-establish ourselves as being the masculine crazy ass.
And they're doing a lot of soft power. They're trying to gather support internationally, which is why it's an international force kind of led by America, though. Like, everything's American, but like, oh, but we're inclusive, you know, like, yeah, sure. I can read a lot of stuff into this and explain it. I can't actually give you an explanation as to why they were riding across the desert with multicolored smoke coming up, but serving absolutely no purpose. I can't tell you why they were fighting against tanks that were clearly American. You know,
I mean, there was some bondiness. I'm just trying to think of like what it could have been taking off, like in terms of the stunts and the treatment of women and the man with the technology. I suppose there was some bondness about it.
You just got to remember the motto of the Mega Force, Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Deeds, not words. Not words. Like, I feel like it was also the motto of the production. It's like, do it, stop talking about it. Like, you know, come up with an idea. I think we should jump this over. Do it. Boom, blow something up. End of story. You know, how did that character get from here to here? I don't know.
I don't think a film could be this, like, massively misogynistic and ridiculous without some level of awareness, because also remember, we've come through the 60s women's rights movement. We've gone through, like, the lead actress whose name I need to check because it is
Persis
Kambata. She was in the first Star Trek film. Like, she's the bald chick from the first Star Trek film. Like, you know, we've had many, many years leading up to this of, like, you know, trying to write stronger female characters and, you know, trying to say, I feel like there is a certain amount of tongue-in-cheekness about this.
Well, I mean, 3 years prior, we had fucking Princess Leia kicking ass.
Exactly. Like,
and
I don't
Sigourney
think
in
you
Aliens.
Could write a film this, like, obviously terrible without there being some element of irony. I mean,
at least she didn't have to be rescued. Like, at least they portrayed a female character as their only female character. Extremely capable.
At least they
and
didn't
they
kill
dedicated
her so that
several
his,
scenes
this
to her being
story.
Extremely capable.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like,
yeah,
she's
they didn't
hot
fridge
and
her.
Capable. And to be fair, she is hot. Like, she is hot and capable. So at least they kind of didn't make her ditzy or incapable, but that's where it stops.
Yeah. And it's why would you spend all that time developing a character and then at the end being like, yeah, nah.
And Kanga pointed out that absolutely there is another woman in there, and it's a hologram of a chick in a bikini.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was another but why.
Yeah.
Like, what? What?
Yeah.
Why?
I feel
the
like...
guy's just kind of gone, oh, well, I've seen a bunch of stuff, but now that I've seen the hologram, I'm just going to be like, nothing to see here.
Why were they not Russian, German?
Oh, I also loved the button pressing. When anything technological is happening, it's just like button. Watch this. I'm like, I'm pretty sure you just turn that on and off again times. I don't know.
Science fiction buttons. Just press whatever and we'll make it up as we go.
Some really questionable, like, ethical stuff in there as well. Like, you know, when they're talking about all of the surveillance that they can do.
Yeah.
On everyone, everywhere, all at once.
Just like we can listen to any conversation anywhere in the world, in any political space. Like, we've got bugs everywhere. We could listen to everything. And I'm like, that seems...
I think they did limit it to other military bases, but like, yeah.
Yeah, well, even still, that's pretty fun.
You can use it for that. You can use it for
anything. Can you sort of see where the CIA was like, can you guys stop this? Stop it. Just stop that. Can I also, like, I'm just going to put up a quick picture of some of the posters that came out with Megaforce, only because I put them up now so that people can see them. When you look at these things, especially because it's got the great deeds not words that's sitting up there, I look at it and I go, this is a science fiction space movie. Like, this is not the action movie set on Earth that you do. This looks very sci-fi. It looks very retro. It looks like an ad. A cartoon ad, but you know, it's very strange, and it reminded me a lot of these kinds of Transformers, even Ice Pirates, which is up there, and like the G.I. Joe stuff. It's very confusing, and I thought it would be interesting to have a look at those things, you know, while they're up there, because it must have confused the fuck out of people, because it's going for, we want science fiction to grab that audience in, and then presented us with a Team America World Police. But not a satire version of, yes, yes, Quinny. You're pointing at me going, is this what Team America like? Yeah, I feel like this is a big influence on Team America World Police.
They've said it. They've stated openly that this film was very much one of the main influences for Team America. They thought that this was fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
And that's where they went with their fucking puppets.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, the fucking puppets.
Sorry, did you do the poster that looks like a toy ad?
Yes.
Okay, because there is one that I was very struck by as I was looking
through. I'll put it up again.
There
it is. You can see there. Yes. Are you man enough for Megaforce? Megaforce, join now.
Because I was like, oh, shit. Okay, right. I now get what this movie is about. This movie is actually a toy ad, and it is aimed at being in the back of a comic book and, you know, printed with two-color printing and, you know, send a dollar and you can become part of the Megaforce fan club and get your own patch. And it's 100% that. And it probably would have worked if it wasn't for those pesky kids.
I don't even know what it's about. Look, I've got a clip. Like, should I play the clip? The wonderful... And it's not one that is an actual clip. Someone has just made a cool trailer part of... the bits in it, but it shows off the high camp. Like, it is kind of like the great thing. I'll just play that quickly.
But you could tell everything about a soldier by looking at his chest.
No, real. That long. That big around. Dang near.
Poor Barry Boswick. I love you, but you're hopeless. Yeah, there you
go.
No,
I feel like those two, like the bad guy and Barry Boswick, are kind of like the Chaos Gaze. Like, you know, they had a thing in military school or whatever, and they're now going to have gigantic armies of, you know, people to fight and, you know, not actually die. They're just going to constantly fire lasers above each other's heads, and then that's their weird kind of sexy foreplay.
Yeah,
absolutely. Like, it's like Duke and Cobra Commander, except they're just a bit more gay, and they are occasionally, like, you know, they'll meet up off screen and have some weird sex, and then they'll go back to firing at each other and going, you should see the new plane that I've made. It flies backwards and comes out of a rock.
Exactly. Look, I mean, you know, I'm so happy that you guys have finally seen Megaforce. I'm waiting for you to submit your...
Happy I saw Megaforce.
I'm waiting for you to...
I can see Jill's face just getting more and more happy that she's seen Megaforce.
But it's so lovely. I would love to see Megaforce 2. I'll put the money down right now. I want to make Megaforce 2. And I wanted to make it even campier. But this time with women. Look, yes, it's a cult thing. Hopefully you've gained some more information and appreciation for it. Is it absolutely terrible? Yeah, 100%. Like, is it 100% terrible? Yes. But it does have some beautiful design. It has some of that high, crazy Tonka truck / Hot Wheels, which they did make Hot Wheels. Quinny found some today. They actually made Hot Wheels.
I was actually looking at them on eBay going, could I get one of these for Dion for his birthday or Christmas or something? And the big one, the like, which is still, you know, only a fucking, like, Hot Wheels, the big one is about $250 Australian for a Hot Wheels because they're that fucking rare.
Fantastic.
I was like, that's a spicier meatball than I was willing to give to Dion.
Come on, Quinny. Come on, man. You want that very niche toy?
It's not that I don't love you.
But I don't love you that much. I will take
there is also
Barry Boswick's headband rather than the toy. If you can get that one for me, that'd be great.
Okay, I'll see what I can. Sure. There is also a documentary that was made, and it, by the looks of it, I think is finished and is waiting for release, that is called Making Megaforce, in which somebody not dissimilar to Dion, who was introduced to Megaforce at a formative age, unfortunately the time that his father was leaving their family. So, there is some fucking trauma bonding shit happening there.
Wow.
Has decided that Megaforce is now his special interest, and has put all of his powers of everything into making some of the vehicles, going to the locations, and then going and getting Barry Bostwick and putting him back on the motorbike just so that he can drive around in the desert on a motorbike with Barry Bostwick. We will be putting a link to that trailer in the post. Definitely go and have a look at that. It is exactly as cringeworthy as you think it is.
Look, Megaforce, go out there and watch it. It's great.
No? Sorry, I just...
Or watch the highlights reel on YouTube. It's absolutely fine.
If you still remember your inner five-year-old boy...
Sure.
Maybe go out and watch it. If you don't have an inner five-year-old boy, maybe give it a miss.
Yeah. If you know a five-year-old, maybe decide whether you want to steer them towards or away from this so that they too don't inflict it on people later in life. When they get a podcast.
I am intrigued though. What are your inner five-year-old culty things that you would like? Do you have any of those things that you did the weekly movie thing?
Yeah, like a movie where you picked up and you're like, this is it.
The Last Unicorn or is it? You know, those things.
Anything
that
I picked up was not shit. My things were Rainbow Bright, Land Before Time.
Okay, that's two Care big Bears, thumbs up from Pete.
The Care Bears movie.
Oh, yeah.
That tape got quite worn out. Although Watch it now. Terrifying. Can't give it to a child. Children these days are soft. Rainbow Bright, also weird as fuck if you watch it now, the 80s version of Rainbow Bright. Okay. Yeah, give it a go. Loved Rainbow Bright.
Yeah.
But those are actual, like, those are things for kids. I can't think of anything that I would have kind of watched when I was older and liked it because it tickled my inner Rainbow Bright lover. Buffy. You know? I think that's the equivalent, like the Buffy film.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Because, yeah, like, I mean, technically, this came out before I was aware of films. Like, I don't think I was aware of films until about 1984. You know, so this, and this would have come out under VHS, and I'm pretty sure we didn't have a VHS player until, like, later in the 80s. So, yeah, all of my shit is 1984 onwards, and there's no guilty pleasures there. That shit is just fucking fire. that whole year.
Yes, well, some things happened earlier than you.
Sorry, Dion. I realize that you are ever so slightly older than some of the rest of us, and therefore your formative childhood years were a little bit
early. Also, I'd like to point out that I watched the Rocky Horror Picture Show after I saw Megaforce, so that was a bit of whiplash for me. Because I was like, wait, what? No, Ace, what? No.
Would you have recognized him?
When it was pointed out to me, I was like, oh my God.
Because looked at this and at sitting on your couch, and you're like, yeah. Do you recognize that guy? And I'm like, is it Barry Gibb from the Bee Gees? What the fuck?
And I'm like, close.
And it took me quite a while to realize who the fuck that was.
Yeah.
And then had very confused emotions.
Yeah.
I think I've spoken multiple times about my first introduction to the Rocky Horror Picture Show, and quite frankly, it was traumatic.
We don't. This isn't the place for your experiences of the movies, Quinny.
So, Dion, it appears that you and I both owe people apologies.
Why? Well, I apologize for nothing. You need. It's deeds, not words, Quinny. Deeds. and that's how I live my life based off this movie now. I need to get myself a bike and a whole bunch of jumpsuits. And they better be shiny and non-breathable, and I need to wear them in the desert because that's going to be fine.
Smart.
I'm bringing back the thumb kiss.
What I want to know is, like, did they put the jumpsuits on the people before they shot? Because they don't even look good on them. Not like they're not muscular enough to make it be like, oh, that's a bit superhero-y. It's just a bunch of skinny dudes in spandex.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And God, if they came off those bikes, they were fucked.
Yeah. Like, there was nothing protective.
No protection.
No. Nah.
You know.
Especially in the place where it mattered most. No protection.
Exactly.
So the director, I did read somewhere that the director fell off one of the bikes and managed to break two of his ribs making this film. So, you know, there you go.
If only he'd broken his neck.
Oh, wow. See,
that's the level that I'm thinking you guys have that hatred. I can feel it emanating off you.
No, it's not terrible. For me.
No, look, Smokey and the Bandit.
I just realized.
Same sort of thing.
Do you want to give this a rating of any kind?
I feel like I'm the bell curve.
Jill's like, no.
It's cult cinema.
I literally didn't watch it.
Yeah.
It's cult cinema. You don't need to give it a rating. Like, you know, I'm not putting it out there. It's like, hey, if you're looking for something that's a bit ridiculous, give this a go. It's fucking weird and stupid. And no, you can 4, 5, 6 screen this thing. It's fine. You can get an Android and an Apple phone and be on both.
Meanwhile, you're playing your Switch with your feet.
Yeah, it's going to be okay. You're going to be able to follow the plot because there's not really one.
No, yeah, but you're not going to – you can't double screen it because unless you're watching it, you can't accept that there is that little plot. And you keep having to think, oh, I've got to go back and figure out why we're doing this now. And the answer is no reason.
Look, a 5-year-old child is going to love this because they're like, is that a June buggy with a laser cannon? Yeah, amazing. It's taking your time. They're not going to ask questions. They're not going to be sitting there going, but why did she do all of those things and then they didn't let her in the club? That's ridiculous. Or maybe you will. Like, you know, hopefully. And then you raise that person up and you go, yes, exactly, right?
My favorite scene was the one, I think it's the first attack they do on, like, wherever the fuck the other place is, where they go in at night and they all, you know, drive
in. Parachute in the dark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing that I love about that, I mean, apart from the very nice night photography of the parachute, which I thought was stunning, but was just the sheer number of vehicles that drove out of the one plane.
It's like a clown car.
There'd have to be at least 50 motorbikes and then somewhere around 20 of the dune buggies that all drive out of the one plane, and there's just the one guy at the door going, go. He looks bored by the end of it. He's like, fucking go, Jesus Christ.
I also love the beautiful, like, I don't know, oil factory, I'm guessing. You know, it's definitely one of those bits where you just go, it's only a model. It's fine. It's not real. It's okay. It's
gonna blow. I just realised that maybe Jill and I don't have the cult movie experience of loving something when we're 10 because our inner 5-year-old loved it, because there weren't really any big films released in the mid-90s with female leads.
Yeah.
It's true.
Fuck, there's a point.
Probably why I rely so much on cartoons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm just trying to think of the equivalent, and I actually can't think of any, but then I'm kind of like, oh, there was like nothing that we could really, you know, insert ourselves as the character in when we're kind of building this story for ourselves, like the next cool thing that's going to happen.
No, like 5-year-old me was obsessed with Ninja Turtles and Batman, like very masculine shit.
Yeah.
You can go back to the Red Sonja 1986 movie.
Why would you fucking bring that up again?
Because I'm just trying to share the weight.
I've managed to finally turn the gaze of hatred away from me for Red Sonja onto you for this. Now that you say that, I'm like, fuck, that is really depressing, isn't it?
I mean, I read a lot of awesome fantasy novels as a kid that, you know, I really would have kind of tickled that idea of if I was telling this story, what cool stuff would I put in it? But I just can't think of a cinema.
The closest thing, I've just had a flashback memory to preschool. Obsessed with the Neverending Story because I wanted to be Childlike Princess.
Yep.
That was it.
It's just I couldn't watch that because of the fear.
But I have very vivid memories of hogging the one pink frilly dress in the dress up box at preschool and like running off to a corner by myself to like sing because I was like trying to live out my fantasy. And whenever another child came in the room, I was like, can you fucking not? I'm having a moment here.
Also, if you are coming in, can you just give me a new name?
Like, yes.
Like oh my God, also, how fucking passive is that? Yeah.
I desperately wanted to be here. Sandy from Greece. We would dress up and dance around the garage. That's a terrible
role. You wanted to be a very promiscuous woman.
I wanted to change the basis of who I was for a man.
Yeah.
We made mum buy us black tights and curly hair so that we could dance around in the garage.
Wow.
And not even a good man, just a fuck boy who changed himself to be someone during the holidays but was actually something else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Having directed that show on stage and with a young and very progressive cast, let me tell you, there were some very difficult conversations about how do we do this now and recognize how fucked it is, especially that last number. And yeah, there's a whole thing of going, okay, no, this is Sandy's decision that, and the lyrics are actually about her saying, you know, you actually have to step up and stop being a dickhead. But what she does and how she dresses really undermines the lyrics.
Yeah.
I mean,
unfortunately, you can't change it for the stage that much.
You could just sing it that way and go, you better step up because I need a man. So I need you to stop being a greaser and become more of a conservative. And then we're all going to go and vote for Reagan.
Well, he does. He gets his Letterman jacket. That means that he's conservative now.
Yeah, but she also had to begin. I'm not going to. This is not Greece. This is Megaforce.
It's not Greece.
Megaforce.
I know. I'm sorry.
Back to Megaforce. Yeah. It's important to remember That you deep. Have to wear the zip-up suits.
The ones that I really like, the outfits I really dug, were the like the formal outfits where they were going to dinner and stuff.
Yes.
That I know, right?
Good costume design. I like that, with that big red lapel.
That was 100% fucking Cobra Commander. Yeah. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah. Can you see where my future costume outfits are going to go? Like, I'm down for this. Like, I'm going to have to do a little bit more working out, maybe a lot more working out before I can get into the gold zip-up.
That guy did no working out.
I will I will wear a dance belt, though. I can't be that much.
Good.
Yeah.
I also do want to shout out to the what was the guy, the cowboy dude?
Like whatever. Sorry, we've completely missed all of the other ones. The other character, guy. Dallas.
Dallas. I Dallas, Michael West, who was in the Warriors. I was like, oh shit! Yeah. I knew him from somewhere. Yeah.
Some of the other guys that were there as part of Megaforce who were kind of ignored, apart from Dallas, was Professor Eggstrom. he was the nerd that made the stuff. Ivan, Suki, Six Killer, Lopez, Anton. And then another guy just called Pilot. I did ask, and I can't quite remember, but you guys saw it recently. It's like, how many different languages did they speak in the film?
I wasn't listening.
He didn't speak any. An international force comprised of all these different people. What language do you speak? Ours. Mine.
American.
English. American. It's like, oh, good. Yeah. Not even trying to do accents. God. Anyway, I gotta go find my flying bike.
Mm. So, what else have people been watching?
That's it.
Oh, sorry. Are we done? Are we
yes.
done with Make
no,
Force?
No,
can
definitely.
We stick a fork in that?
Pete and Jill, we're done 2 minutes into this podcast.
Yeah. Oh no! I think Peter has given solid thought, and
absolutely.
And, like, I feel like, Pete, you've engaged with this on a level that I was not expecting.
I appreciate the argument that Dion is making about the evolution of cinema in some ways.
Although knowing now that he was doing Pirates of the Caribbean. Knowing that he literally came off stage doing Pirates of Penzance into this gives it a whole different viewing experience where you're watching him going, oh my god, he's just walked off stage and into this. Amazing.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Fine. Maybe not then. You're not going to watch it again. I get it. Fine.
So what are we watching? What's been going on? What are we catching up on?
Well, we've got one final episode of Alien Earth that's on tonight.
Yeah, so we have to wrap up very, very soon. To go and do that. Sorry, I won't be holding anyone else up.
I think the latest episode of Slow Horses have dropped tonight as well. So you guys can watch your Alien and I'll watch that.
Yes, are you sure?
New season of Slow Horses has kicked back off again.
Come up on the Apple TV app.
We haven't been able to convince you to get on board with the eyeball alien with tentacles.
I cannot commit to the franchise right now. I just can't do it. Yeah. And also, I've seen the still. It looks gross.
Yeah. Oh, Dory, it gets worse.
Yeah.
Much worse.
So much worse.
It really leans in hard on the gross. Yeah. And that's what we love it for.
To be fair, I did actually manage to sneakily get it the finale in before the show. So I've seen it.
Jesus.
I know what happens.
Rude.
Shut up. Don't say anything. Nah.
what are we doing next week? Nothing. We're not doing anything next week. We're taking the Tuesday off.
Break.
Yeah,
nice break.
I do
catch
want
up
to say shout out and say thank you very much to Sony for the screening that we went to last night, which was for Spinal Tap 2.
The end continues.
Yes. I'm not sure whether or not we're going to be coming back to that one in October to talk about or not.
We'll talk about it somewhere, either a review or a thing.
A written thing, but I do want to say, look, if you're somebody who's watched the original Spinal Tap, or you know, even the Spinal Tap episode of the Simpsons, or any of the other Spinal Tap things over the past 40 something odd years, no, nearly 50 years, it's definitely a film. It's fun. I laughed quite a few times. And if you like those things, if you like those kind of comedies like Best in Show and A Mighty Wind and Waiting for Guffman, that kind of stuff, then yeah, you'll get it. You'll get it and you'll enjoy it, I think.
Yeah. Nothing else I think is coming up. We're taking suggestions. Speaking of that, suggestions for October. It's Spooktober.
Wrestling in October.
Aren't we?
It is Wrestling October, yes. It is
Wrestling October. Quick, get in before Jill just fills our thing with too many wrestling shows. How many years is it now?
Of what?
Of wrestling that we have to watch to be able to understand the intricacies of what's going on. It's WrestleMania October. What are we doing?
I will give you a 101 class.
Excellent.
Right.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
So. And I mean, it's not just going to be WWE
we'll watch stuff like The Fighting Iron Claw family.
Oh, Fighting With My Family, Iron Claw, The Wrestler.
Yeah. Make you watch the Bella Twins reality TV.
All 16 seasons.
Shout out to Jill for her big weekend at Oz Comic Con. Where we caught up with her on Saturday, and you remind me of the name of the wrestler that you were.
I was dressed as Tiffany Stratton, the current women's champion,
and you looked amazing.
Thank you. I felt like, amazing. I loved my costume.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah,
like you were just looking fucking strong as shit.
Yeah, it was. But, I would totally have believed it if you just grabbed some random person and did a body slam. I would have just been like, no, that's fine.
I had amazing chats with people on the weekend about wrestling when they realized that I was, you know, cosplaying a wrestler, and everyone asking, are you going to Perth? And I'd either get the reaction of, yeah, me too, or I want to go, when I said that I was. So.
Oh, you are going to Perth for WWE.
I am going to Perth.
Amazing. Yes.
Two weeks.
Holy
two
shit. Weeks. Are there big matches that you're particularly pumped for?
Well, I'm going to all three nights that they've got on. So I'll be watching SmackDown, Friday night SmackDown live. Saturday night, we're watching the Crown Jewel premium live event. And then on Monday, we are watching Raw. So, yeah.
My God.
Doing it all.
So much fucking wrestling.
Yeah. Can't wait.
Amazing. not quite wrestling, but similar. If you dropped off Chief of War, if you were like, oh yeah, I'll come back to that. The season has wrapped up, It wraps up fucking big time. Like there's a very impressive bit of stuff in the last episode that I was like, shit.
Good. I've got a couple of episodes that I need to watch, so.
Yeah, like it ends really strongly, and by the looks of it, they're going to do more seasons and stuff.
Which, cool. I finally have a free weekend, so maybe I'll watch some stuff that I've missed.
Sure. Yeah. I'll just be catching up on some of the, Foundation. Does anyone watch Foundation? No? Okay, fine.
I'm behind on it. I want to catch up.
Fine, whatever.
You and your old man.
Back over here and watch Babylon 5 again. Yeah. All right. That's all lovely. So, yeah. Well, anything else you got coming up? Anything? Peter, have you got any shows you're attending? Nope, just working. 1,000-yard stare.
Is there anything you've been watching that you're enjoying?
Nope.
I think
so. can't remember.
That's
Peter, if you want a bit of a chaotic laugh, very easy to watch 30-minute TV show. Have you seen Platonic on Apple Plus?
I have. Yes, okay. I have watched that. And
are you watching
yes,
the second season?
I've watched the second season already because small bites of laughter is what is doing it for me right now. So if anyone has any similar suggestions, I would be into that.
Excellent.
Mm. Amazing. All right. Well, we should go. And have a nice rest next week to get right into the wrestling of October. Wrestletober?
What are we going to call it? Wrestletober!
Wrestletober?
Yes.
Yeah, that sounds like a weird foot fungus. we need to come up with something. Spook wrestling. No. Something
with no.
Okay, fine. No Wrestle Spooks. That was in Ghostbusters. That's a different movie. All right. No. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you next month. Send us your suggestions. Okay.
Yeah, we want suggestions for October, but also just suggestions in general. Also, we love hearing from you. Send us for voicemails, emails, whatever. You know, it's a conversation.
Yeah.
We love it.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.